Welcome to the Successful Farming Disease Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Before we get into the podcast, we would like to thank our sponsor, FMC. Start clean and stay clean with overlapping residual herbicides from FMC.
Control the toughest weeds with overlapping residuals. Lock in the longest lasting control for your soybean fields. A pre-emergence application of an Authority brand herbicide plus a post-application of Anthem Max herbicide establishes the overlapping residual control key to safeguarding your soybean seasons. This pairing is a heavy-duty economical strategy against Palmer amaranth, water hemp, kochia, and more. Visit your FMC retailer or lockin.ag.fmc.com today. Always read and follow all label directions.
Early season and seedling diseases can have a significant cost to soybean farmers. Today, Successful Farming editor Chelsea Dinnerman talks with Nick Tinsley, technical field representative for field treatments for BASF, about what farmers should be looking for this spring and how to prevent and mitigate disease in the early stages of crop growth. The conversation starts off with Tinsley discussing what he does in his role with BASF.
I have two responsibilities. One is supporting our commercial organization when they interact with customers. And then probably more interestingly, from my standpoint, is I'm responsible for research and development trials related to our seed treatment products.
So we're here today to talk about kind of early season or seedling diseases. So we'll start off, what are kind of the big four diseases that farmers should be looking for as they go into planting and seedling stages?
Yeah, so typically these diseases are going to cost U.S. farmers somewhere between 25 and 50 million bushels a year. And so depending on commodity prices, that can be, you know, quite high as a dollar figure.
What makes these diseases worse? What conditions should farmers be looking at in early spring?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. So generally speaking, these diseases are made worse by cool and wet conditions. So after the seeds have been planted, if it turns cold and wet for a while, that's really going to be the time where these diseases are going to be able to wreak the most havoc on that young soybean crop.
What should farmers be scouting for, and how can they identify these diseases in their fields?
This is something where it's really only able to know what's going on until after seedlings start to emerge and come out of the ground. Farmers might notice that there are patches of a field where they didn't have good emergence. And so it's good to visit those areas of the field where there are missing plants and kind of dig around. And sometimes you'll see maybe those seeds are kind of mushy or dead and not surviving. That's a good indicator that there might be one of these pathogens going on in the field. Also, you know, kind of uneven emergence or uneven growth in that on those seedling stages. So you may have like some healthy plants and then you've got some kind of young and unhealthy looking plants. Those would be good ones to take a look at. And really all of these diseases, they do look a little different here and there, and a trained eye can definitely catch that. But one thing I always recommend is to take samples of those plants or seeds and send those to maybe a local university extension service to have them diagnose which pathogen did that damage.
Are these diseases spread nationwide or are they limited to certain regions?
Yeah, so, you know, really you're going to experience these types of diseases almost anywhere you are in the country. Many of them are going to be kind of generalists, and so they'll be able to colonize a number of different crops. So for example, Pythium, there are a lot of different species and even strains of Pythium, and they're going to occur on just about any crop that you're growing. Same would be true with Fusarium as well. And a lot of them, you know, you're going to have issues potentially in your soybean field, then you could also have those same issues in a rotational crop like corn.
And so if a farmer has dealt with one of these diseases before, what management decisions should they be making before they even get out into the field to plant?
Yeah, so these are really tough because once you see the damage caused by these diseases, there's really nothing you can do about it other than maybe replant areas of the field that have not come up. And so it's important for growers to make the management decision ahead of the growing season. And really, almost in all cases, the way that these things are managed is through a good quality seed treatment. And so, you know, a number of companies offer a variety of seed treatments and, you know, they have multiple different active ingredients on them. Some of those active ingredients can be very specific and go against one or two diseases. Others are a little bit more general and can pick up, you know, activity against all of those diseases that we talked about. And so that would be the predominant chemical control method that growers would use. The other thing always to be aware of when you're dealing with diseases is, of course, that disease triangle. You've got the disease, you've got the host plant, and then you've got the environment. And so there's nothing we can really do about the environment outside of maybe shifting our planting date a little bit. It's important to think about anything we're doing, any practice agronomically where we are putting ourselves in a more risky situation. Maybe it's a cover crop that makes the soil cooler or something like that. It's just important to be aware of how those management practices and planting dates are affecting what that environment's going to be like out in that field.
And can any changes to planting populations help minimize the impact from these diseases?
I think certainly historically, before we had high quality seed treatments, you know, especially thinking about soybeans, you know, one thing you might do is if you think you might be at risk, you might plant a lot of seeds, right? So wasn't that uncommon, you know, a decade or two decades ago to have people plant 160 or 180,000 soybean seeds per acre? And essentially what you're doing is trying to overcome the fact that you're probably going to lose some of those seeds. With modern seed treatments, you're able as a grower to plant something that's more appropriate, 140 or even 120,000 seeds per acre, because you know they're protected with those fungicidal active ingredients on there. So that's certainly something to consider. And I would argue that if you're using a high quality seed treatment from a reputable company, you probably don't need to plant those artificially high populations. I think when we think about the optimum planting rate and number of plants per acre in soybean, we're pushing down by 120,000, 110,000. And so, yeah, something to consider for growers as well.
And speaking of soybeans, I know that some farmers have tended to plant those a little bit earlier in the season to kind of try and maximize yield gains. Can these diseases, like, is that something to take in consideration when you're planting earlier with your soybeans?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, there's been a lot of research done over the past 15 years to know that when we plant our soybeans earlier, we get much higher yield potential. And so a lot of growers have adopted that early planting. And if you think about that disease triangle, when you do plant early, you're a lot of times in a colder, more wet environment. And so that is a riskier situation. And really, seed treatments have enabled that practice from the standpoint of, you know, you're in a riskier environment. And so you need to make sure you're having all the protection you can against these diseases that are out there.
And so those seed treatments that you mentioned often can have other benefits as well. I'm thinking protection against things like SCN. How can a farmer make sure that they're stacking the right traits with the right seed treatments?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is something where a grower is going to need to talk to their seed provider or their local retailer to confirm what's on their seed. You know, most modern seed treatments have at least one active ingredient for water molds like Pythium and Phytophthora. And oftentimes they'll have one or two to go against the other pathogens I mentioned, Fusarium and Rhizoctonia. And so those are essentially what you're getting in kind of what will be called a base fungicide. Now, when you want to start targeting things like soybean cyst nematode, sudden death syndrome, you need to make sure that you've got the right seed treatment on there. They're oftentimes kind of add-on type or bolt-on type seed treatments. So an example would be Olivo from BSF. It targets only nematodes and sudden death syndrome. And so you would need to make sure that you added that to your overall seed treatment package. These guys, agronomists and seed providers, would be more than happy to try and help them guide them what is the best decision for them.
I think that's everything I had for you. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think farmers need to know?
No, I mean, I think that's a really good job of addressing kind of all the ins and outs of that. I guess I would just say, you know, as we get into 2024, really hope that everyone stays safe out there and has a safe and productive planting season.
Thank you again for taking the time to chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you to our guest today, Nick Tensley, Technical Field Representative for Field Treatments for BASF. This Disease Playbook podcast has been brought to you by FMC. Start clean and stay clean with overlapping residual herbicides from FMC. For more about this topic, log on to fmc.com. For more news and agricultural information, go to agriculture.com.